Hi guys, welcome back to the Seriously Grays podcast. I'm Amanda.
I'm Kay.
Today we're going to be talking about episode 1014, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, written by Tia Napolitano and directed by Ron Underwood.
What?
So to recap, Alex and Joe deal with the new fraternization rule, all the while Joe is suspecting Stephanie. Owen and Emma decide to move in together and out of his, what was it, a tin can?
Yeah.
But something unexpectedly intervenes that plan. Richard guides the residents with a cancer patient. Derek and Meredith come together on their situation after 3 weeks of
no sex.
with a tragedy. Jackson and April debate on when the right time to reveal their secret is. Meanwhile, Callie and Arizona bask in their new honeymoon phase. So, okay, what were your expectations in going into this episode?
Honestly, I didn't really have any. I was just wondering if, you know, I told you guys all about my suspicions with last week's episode with Take It Back, that it was maybe the writers kind of just doing that, taking it back and dealing with the crap they gave us in 10A and giving us better storylines in 10B. So I was wondering if that was where the show was going. And I think so. I think we're on the right track, surprisingly. What were your expectations?
I was just excited to see some hot Jolik sex.
Oh my god, you perv.
Shut up. Aside from that, I thought it would be a good episode because 1013 left so much promise for 10B. So I just wanted to see where it would take us for the second half of the season. And I don't think I was disappointed.
No.
More on that coming up.
Yes. Suspense.
Themes. I think the theme was in the title, and it was about not hiding your feelings, because as you know, a lot of the couples were either just wanting to show their feelings to the world, on, you know, not caring about the stupid rules. Joe was showing her feelings of anger towards her friends and the board for, like, she was just not hiding how it made her feel. And Meredith, too, for a while, had been angry at Derek and wasn't hiding it, but she came around.
There's an underlying theme of just dealing with your feelings in general and dealing with your personal feelings at work. I mean, how appropriate. But, you know, when you look at all the interns and the speech Ross gives them about dealing with their feelings and, you know, losing their kind of education because no one's dealing with their shit properly. And when you look at Callie and Arizona, who are, in my opinion, kind of building themselves into this weird kind of... Not fake. I mean, I think they genuinely think they are happy, but there's, you know, there's so much stuff they haven't dealt with. So it's kind of about dealing with your feelings and facing them and hiding them and all that crap we do with feelings. And also it's about bringing sexy back.
It was. And Grey's Anatomy did bring the sexy back this week.
Yeah, and it had been a long time. In 10B, we didn't really see that much sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we were talking about Grey's being like the kid show before Scandal.
Yeah. Did I say 10B? I think it's in 10A is what I meant. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about this.
No, I'm not ready. No? I can't do it.
Yes, you'll like it. It's your favorite scene right in the beginning.
Yes.
So we start. As some of you had guessed, because we asked on Twitter where the episode would start, and some people did say in Jolik's bed, and it does start there. There's a hot, hot scene between Joe and Alex. And Amanda, do you have words to describe it?
A risky, hot, 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 hot scene. It's so hot I don't even have words.
Except hot.
Except hot. So you're going to have to talk about it.
We're used to seeing that kind of, you know, dirty, sexy stuff with Crowan, not really with the other couples.
This is like, I think, the first scene like that Justin Chambers has had on the show.
Yeah? You would know, you're the expert.
I would know, yes.
Yes.
I can tell you that the Alex and the Jolix fans are very pleased. That's what I can report to you.
Also, it's fun. Well, it, you know, it's reassuring in the sense that last episode, it ended, Jolix did end well, you know, on a kind of good note. She went back to Jimmy's room and touched him, and, you know, we felt that it was okay, but that was really reassurance that they were indeed okay.
I like just seeing them happy and together, and like the way they look at each other, they're so in love, and it's just nice to see that for Alex and see that part of their relationship, because as we were saying in the early half of this episode, it was very heavy for them with, you know, Alex's dad fighting and thing and stuff like that, so it's mm-hmm. nice to see them have a little bit of happiness amidst all of the chaos.
They want,
and it was hot.
Yes, they want to stay there in bed forever.
It was hot.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it was so hot.
All right, say it one more time and then we can move on.
Okay, all right, hang on, give me a moment.
Okay
I'm ready.
Say it one more time.
It was hot.
Okay. All right. We move on from Jolex's bedroom to Owen in the trailer, and he's with Emma. They have a cute little exchange. She says she admits that to not liking camping. Owen insinuates, or he says, you know, maybe we could move in together. And they start kissing. Were you surprised by that Owen would suggest that they move in together?
On the second rewatch, I was.
On the why?
Did no, maybe the third.
Did you not pay attention on the
no,
first?
No, I didn't. I was not. I was not focusing. I was done. But then I rewatched and I listened, and No, I wasn't surprised, because Owen has been trying to move on, as we've seen, without Christina. And that's just another one of those steps that you kind of have to take when you're trying to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
You know, it didn't strike me back then when I was watching that scene. But later when I saw Christina and Owen, it really hit me how different Owen was when he was kissing Emma than when he is kissing Christina. He was much more, he was gentler,
mm-hmm.
less, you know,
well,
kind of.
Emma kind of strikes me as a little more of a delicate woman than Christina.
Actually, I have a strong opinion about that. The whole Emma suddenly becoming this delicate thing. I anyways, I'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the McMansion, and Derek is trying to choose a tie. There's a blue one, and I don't remember which color is the other one. Meredith says, you know, I want the president to like you. I just don't want my husband to have the job, you know. So, and we learn that she's been depriving him of sex for the last 3 weeks. She goes in the shower and she kind of describes what she's doing. They're fighting, but really, it was kind of a cute scene, I thought. Her describing and just trying to, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know. I don't remember the name.
What?
She was, you know, she's trying to hurt him. No. I can't remember the word. No, not revenge. She is torturing him.
Punishing him.
Torturing, yeah.
Yes.
By depriving him of sex.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Yes. Not so poor.
No.
Nah, he deserves it.
Yeah. There's Arizona. She walks into their new bedroom. There's a bunch of boxes. Callie is obviously trying to put some stuff away, you know, opening a box. And Arizona tells her, you know, we have to go. We're kind of late. We have to go. And Callie insists that Arizona opens her box and that she does it immediately. Arizona does, after a little bit of reluctance. Yeah. She opens the box. Inside the big box, there's a tiny box. Inside the tiny box, there's a ring. Callie tells her she engraves the date they moved in, and that it's to kind of celebrate their new start.
What is with Cal in Arizona and jewelry? I've never seen it so prominent in any other couple on Grays. They have the necklaces, they've had that, that
Yeah.
they've had. Actually, the scene when they were trying to show Alex reminded me of when they were trying to show their necklaces to Bailey in the Valentine's Day episode in season 6.
Yeah, I think they both enjoy jewelry, and it symbolizes a lot for them. And it's really interesting that this is the scene where Arizona uses Callie's full name, because we haven't seen that since the wedding. And I think it's very, very symbolic that it's
How do you pronounce her middle name?
Iphigenia. I think
Iphanagi.
from what I've seen, Callie pronounces it some
Iphanagi.
in Iphigenia. Yeah,
Sounds like vagina.
no. Anyway, the way the what from what I've read, Callie pronounces it one way to George. Papa Torres pronounced it another way when he came. Yeah. Anyways, but what I was saying
Iphanagi.
is, she has not said her full name since the wedding. Even Calliope, she hasn't used it. I think it's very symbolic. It's really saying that they're
Okay.
doing a fresh start. Does it mean that Calzona's they are I think they are trying to forget about their drama and really trying not to address it fully. I don't think it will work, but they will address it in a different way. So in that sense, it's a fresh start to
Okay,
addressing their drama.
question, because you're like the Cali and Arizona expert of us. Why are the fans always so excited whenever at the prospect of the full name Calliope being used? Like, why is that so special?
It's very meaningful because no one
Why?
calls Callie Calliope except her dad, even when, even George didn't call her dad. She really doesn't like it. And I think it's a privilege for Arizona to use it. And it hasn't been used by Arizona since season 7.
Okay.
So, the fans had been waiting for that moment for a long time. I think it's a sign of intimacy between the two.
But it wasn't really said in an intimate way. I didn't. Okay, that's just maybe me.
I think Arizona was surprised, seriously. And I think, it meant a lot to her that Callie would do that. Kind of a sign that she really was trying. Because obviously things aren't really 100% smooth, and they're aware of that. So I think it really took Arizona by surprise. J. Prohl are on their way to the stairwell. April, there's a neat transition between the two scenes because we see, Callie telling Arizona, put the ring on, and then we see April telling Jackson,
And
take
then we show
your
his
ring
ring.
off. Yeah, take your ring off. And he
Take
does.
his ring off.
Yeah. They obviously haven't told anyone about their wedding yet, which, I mean, it must
Secret
have been a few
marriage.
weeks. It must have been a few weeks since Callie and Arizona moved in, so it's been a while. They get to the stairwell. That's when Christina figures out that Owen and Emma are moving in together. She tells
How'd you
Mary.
figure that out exactly?
Because when Derek and Owen are coming to the stairwell, Derek tells Owen, we're not giving you your safety deposit back. And Owen says, good thing I didn't give you one. So I think Christina just figures it out. And that's when they announce the new policy. Dun, dun, dun.
Joe's pissed, and the residents are all kind of huddled together. She immediately suspects Stephanie.
Yeah.
Do you think that that was like, what did you think about that, her rash
You know,
assumption?
I later in the scene I'll talk about it, but I was not impressed. I know it's logical to think that. I get that, but she is bitchy about it.
She made Stephanie cry, though, in the later scene.
Yeah. Oh, in the later scene I have issues with Joe. Seriously? Like, come on. During that scene, there's a song from The Breakfast Club, or maybe you guys will remember it from Pitch Perfect also. The you good forget time. About me. So, you know.
Still remember our reaction to the throwing.
Oh, my God. So, good song from the 80s. It's a cover. I was so happy. It's the first time in season 10 where I'm, except maybe Total Eclipse of the Heart, where I was like, oh, my God, this is a good song. I like it. And, you know, I'm really, it's like, the writers and everyone is really taking the show back. We're getting cool music back, not just the writing.
I think there was enough complaints that they were like, okay, we have to not put in the weird ass music anymore.
Yeah, the banshee wailing music.
Wee wee wee.
Yeah, igloo igloo igloo. Anyways, so I was happy about that. You know, I love that Austin's episode was called Take It Back. It really feels like they were taking it back. I like it. So far, anyways. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Weber will be in charge of taking the residents' complaints and questions.
What an honor.
And he tells them, this isn't done to you. It has been done for you.
Ooh,
I like that.
Whatever.
I like it. I get it. You know, I understand.
I took offense to that.
I didn't.
Get off your high horse.
I didn't, because it really, as much as, you know, we love seeing those relationships, it really does affect the education they're getting.
I know, but I think it's quite offensive for him to tell them how it affects them. Like, it's not up to him to...
Well, it's not them. Like they are noticing it themselves. I mean, except for Leah, no one really took a step to, you know, take their education seriously. Not that Leah really had the best intentions. We don't know why Leah really did it, but... I just love Stephanie. You know, Joe confronts her, and I love that Stephanie doesn't... All right, we are back.
Okay.
Stephanie doesn't deny doing it. She just says it was an anonymous complaint. And mm-hmm. I like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. Weber is going to lead the residents to help Alex and Callie's patient, who is a kid who has recurring cancer. Just, you know, we don't talk about the patients very often. The kid who played the cancer patient, Haley McFarland, I really liked her. I like her as an actress. I had seen her in Lie to Me. And
wow.
And I like her. That is all.
Okay.
Did you like that patient?
Sure. No. I honestly didn't. I didn't really pay too much attention.
Okay. Also, another thing, Weber encourages the residents to work together. Obviously, everyone is too focused on their drama to care.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ben isn't impressed.
I like Ben. More on that later.
I like Ben, too. Derek is walking with Meredith. He's telling her, you know, there's a lot of food in the fridge. I did some laundry.
Yeah.
It's like he's leaving his teenage daughter.
Yeah.
You know, you can see the way I interpreted it was like he does have some kind of guilt with, you know.
In this. He's trying to.
Yeah.
Nest.
Woo her over. Tell her, you know, I'm leaving, but I did all those things for you.
Yeah, so please don't hate me too much.
Exactly. Christina walks past. Meredith and Christina start talking. Meredith invites Christina over for a sleepover. She tells her, you know, we can talk about my project. We can talk about Owen and Emma. I have wine, and obviously that's the argument that when's Christina over. And I mean, the Twisted Sisters have grown up. They drink wine now.
Yeah.
I like that.
Very grown up.
Nice little touch.
That scene was, there was too little of it, but more on that later. I would have liked to have seen more.
Of them drinking together?
Yeah.
Yeah. April gets a patient. She is something to her leg, which this fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
Oh, man, it was disgusting. She needs, Jackson, he is Paige because he's obviously the plastic surgeon.
Obviously.
Did you see the parallels between the patient and J'April's situation?
No.
I mean, the lady is a little hectic. She's a little crazy. In a way, I mean, obviously April is not that obsessive and crazy, but there were some similarities, and the way I think the way she said, we can't live our relationship freely and fully and in front of everybody. And it's like Jackson and April, I think it made them realize that they had this opportunity of not hiding themselves and living their relationship in front of everybody and just, being in love and doing it freely, even if there are some consequences. So I think it did
Yeah,
help
which
with their,
was the theme, so.
yeah, realization. So
Yes. So
Arizona
disgusting.
is, yes, it was disgusting. Arizona is showing off her new bling until a Jolex breakup interrupts. Dun dun.
It was fake, Kay?
Yes, I did.
Why
And
did you think it was fake?
I saw the sneak peek and I was like, oh, this is, a little sneaky. I could see them figuring out about the policy and trying to stage this big breakup. And it reminded me of the scene at Bailey's wedding where Joe, shows Alex about using her tears and
Yeah.
putting on a show. So
They're good at that.
I like the idea that it was reminiscent of kind of
I
their.
know. I really like the in this episode for them, there was a lot of callbacks to
Yes.
previous things like the couch and stuff, so drinking beer together. I like when they do that, show the consistency between the characters.
When she immediately called him, and she tells
He
him,
called her.
okay, and she's like, oh, yeah, and he asks her, was that good? And she's like, scaringly so. I like that.
I love that he did that for her. Like, it was obviously he wasn't bothered,
Yeah.
but Joe was freaking out, and so he agreed to do that for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was sweet. Nice little boyfriend thing to do, even though he probably thought it was crazy.
Also, I was not impressed. I get that, Kelly and Arizona, they were taken aback. They didn't know what to do, but I guess it was a better scene if they didn't intervene, but I don't know.
Are you talking
Kelly
about their
and
reaction?
Arizona. Yeah, Kelly and Arizona. I mean, you intervene. Come on. You tell them, break it off.
Yeah, they
You're.
kind of just watched and then gave each other looks. I
Yeah.
wasn't really impressed by that.
But I mean, I don't know. If you want to reinforce the whole no fraternization policy, it does include fighting in public.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's just a little detail.
Well,
Also.
they do talk about it later, and they just keep on going at it. But yeah.
Yeah. Also, something I noticed when Arizona is talking about her ring, Leah passes them by in the staircase.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Arizona's gonna pay for her sins. Ben is working with Bailey. They're talking about genes and stuff because they Ben suspects that maybe there is a genetic cause to the cancer patient's situation. They have a cute little interaction, and Bailey just figures out that there is a malfunction in some gene, I don't remember which causes the patient to not fight the tumors, and just little cute interactions between Ben and Bailey.
Then he locks the door. They're about
Yeah.
to. Man, Bailey is so risk. She's such a risk taker now.
She changed.
She did change.
I think she's really turned on now that her man is back from surgeon.
Little creepy, though, the way she kind of treats him like her son and then her husband. I don't know. It weirds me out a bit.
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Like the whole don't stay up too late. Like,
Yeah.
and the whole making him lunch and stuff.
Martina are partying like grown-ups in the McDream House.
They are.
Oh my God. Oh my
I
God.
love, I love.
I have to say my favorite moment of all time because
Okay.
we recorded a Twisted Sisters podcast and I brought up
Okay.
that scene and I told you
Okay.
guys I reenacted it and
Okay.
there's tears in my eyes.
Okay.
Okay. The scene in the bathroom where Christina and Meredith have been drinking tequila and Meredith says, "I feel empty." There's a total callback to that scene in this episode where Meredith figures out that her wine glass is empty and she tells Christina, "I'm empty." And it's just amazing.
Okay.
This, oh.
I love Sandra Oh playing Christina drunk. She's so good at it.
Everybody should get drunk.
She's just so good at it. I love the way she just says her lines.
Oh.
And when she went to Owen, like I think one of my favorite lines of the whole episode was right when she was like, "Here, this is for you and Emma," and then Owen was like, "Oh, she's not here." Look an expression on Christina's face as she goes, "Oh," like, "Oh shit." Just makes me laugh so hard.
Oh, I mean, I want more of that. I mean, I'm super happy. This makes me really hopeful for Sandra's exit. They're giving us good callback. They gave us a drunken Twisted Sisters scene. I like how they're partying, you know, they're still drunk, but it's not the same kind of teenager party. It's just two friends talking and drinking wine,
Yeah,
and it felt,
very grown up.
yeah.
Except, what do you think about the whole Christina talking and talking about Owen and Emma? Like, she kind of just went on about his future.
I think, you know, well, we've seen her, you know, she told Owen you should date people, and then later when she figured out that he was dating someone, she had a hard time. She did walk away. There's a scene, you know, they're at the hospital, she's talking to Owen, Emma shows up. I don't remember where it takes somewhere in the hospital, and she walks away, but you can see it's hard for her. And now she's confronted with the fact that they're moving in, and it's still hard for her. And I think she has a harder time letting go than she thought she would. I think
It's even hard for Sandra Oh.
yeah,
It's even hard for Sandra Oh. She's
apparently.
I was reading an interview about how she's kind of like jealous of her TV husband having scenes with someone else. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of life imitates art.
Yeah, it must be hard. I mean, also it's a sign that, you know, you're leaving when the characters you've interacted with are kind of moving on, even if you haven't left with, well, yet they're still preparing them to have a life after you're gone. And it's just, yeah, must be hard for her. Derek shows up. His interview has been canceled. Christina takes a wine takes a
You think
wine
he was
bottle.
surprised? Do you think he was surprised to see Christina there?
It was. I thought so. Yeah.
No, I love how Christina just like, "Oh, I'll take this." You know
It's
how when you have those friends where you kind of like I've had certain friends that just walk into my house and open the fridge.
Oh yeah, me
But
too. Yeah.
like I just love that they have that kind of relationship where she can just go through their wines and steal the really expensive wine for herself.
And she just walks away with the bottle. I love it. She, like we've said, she shows up at Owen's trailer or Derek's trailer or whatever.
Did she go there?
Well, you know, we've kind of, I remember talking about that. I don't think it was on a podcast, but when I did read an interview before this episode where Christina or Sandra was talking about Meredith and Christina getting drunk, and Sandra said it's what she does after that that's interesting. So I'm wondering if there's a link there in the sense that Christina's back at Meredith's house, they're drinking. It's different, but it's still like old times, you know? It's a reassurance that things can go back to normal. And I'm wondering if that's not the logic she was going with Owen, like we can go back to normal, a different kind of normal.
Yeah, I don't think
Like,
they're ever going to go back to normal, but
no, but a different kind of normal, just like she has with Meredith. you know?
Yeah.
Kind of a grown up.
But this still screws up Owen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she didn't necessarily had the intention of going there and sleep with him. Obviously,
Obviously not, no.
it was risky, obviously, and I
As
think
soon as she said, "Oh," you realize she didn't anticipate that he was going to be alone.
yeah. So she gets in, they start drinking the wine in some, obviously Owen doesn't have wine glasses in his trailer.
How she calls her mom.
It's amazing. I loved it.
Hi, mom. What's that thing called? Thank you. Goodbye. Have you ever had it do that?
And yeah, I'm okay. Yes, I've actually I do. Yeah. I do that sometimes. Like I have to call my mom just for a detail. I don't want to have this huge conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah. I like, you know, it tells us something because she calls her mom and she says, I know it's
We found
late,
out that
but
she's an interior designer.
yeah, and also I think we knew that.
I don't remember knowing that. Maybe we did, and I'm just stupid.
I
That
think
happens quite
I
often.
remember studying for the throwdown and reading that, I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Maybe
Okay.
I'm wrong. But what it, you know, she tells, I know, she says, I know it's late, but I'm okay. And that kind of tells us that maybe she does call her mom more than we might think, you know.
I have a feeling she does lately. I'm gonna say that she does more than she used to the past year.
Maybe because she
With
doesn't have
no Owen,
no
yeah.
one, and yeah,
Meredith and stuff
Eric.
have been going different. Yeah, I have a feeling she calls her mom more often than she used to.
That's a good theory.
Aww.
They are close, they're sitting close, they start kind of touching each other. Owen takes Christina's hand. I mean, it was
I
I
like
like
the scene,
the
but I can't
scene.
get it out of my mind that he has a
I
girlfriend.
know, I feel
And
the
I
same.
know all the Crowan fans are like, "Oh my God, yay!" But no, he cheated again. And why? Okay, does this make it more okay because it's on Christina?
No, and
No,
that's
it
sad.
doesn't.
Yes,
And that is something that we need to talk about on this podcast.
I agree.
Because there's no way I'm gonna stand here or sit here or whatever in my nice blanket that Holly made me, by the way, and say
Exactly.
on one podcast 1.5 years ago, "Oh my God, I can't believe Owen cheated on Christina," and I'm not gonna sit here and go, "Oh my God, I'm so glad that they kissed," and no.
Yes, and especially on an episode where we have strong parallels with Arizona.
Guess they couldn't hide their feelings either.
It's like Arizona, we've been saying, you know, she should deal with her shit, blah blah, and you know, we've been kind of,
Owen should deal with his loyalty.
yeah. I hate it. The double standard of cheating on TV and cinema and everything makes me crazy.
No, it's not okay if it's the love of your life.
No, it's not. Absolutely not. And I mean, for Owen, I think it's fascinating when Owen cheated
Can
on.
you imagine if Emma walked in? That would have made that scene so much more better.
Oh my God. You know,
But in a way, I'm kind of happy she never found out.
we'll talk about that later. I mean,
Okay.
I also, yeah, I'm not
Just
sure.
let her go. Don't break her heart any more than you have to.
You know, it's hilarious to me when Owen first cheated on Christina. People, a lot of people, I saw a lot of people saying, "This is so out of character for Owen." Blah blah. I was like, no. Owen cheated on Beth. There was the old love triangle where he kissed Teddy. He cheated on Christina, and now he does cheat on
Never
Emma
actually
again.
kissed Teddy.
There was a
They
scene where
almost
they,
kiss.
yeah, come
But
on.
no, I would not trust Owen. I don't trust him. I just think that he's a man who is led by his emotions, which is not always a bad thing, but you have to have some logic in there.
But it's like with Christina, he can't help himself. And I understand there's a big history. There's obviously there's still love. It's not just some physical attraction. There is.
But I have a feeling the fact that he was with Emma when he had sex with Christina is supposed to like signify how strong he feels for her, but I just don't like it. It doesn't have that effect on me.
It's sad that we should. I think it's sad that people are so mean to Emma. She hasn't done anything.
I feel bad that she was just a plot device.
Yeah. Oh, I have strong opinions about that.
Okay.
Joel XR sitting on the couch there,
Oh, the
drinking
couch.
beer and talking. Is it the
Drinking
couch? Is
beer.
it the
It
couch?
is the couch that Joe bought him and said, "We're gonna drink beer on it." And Alex was like, "We're not doing it." And she was like, "Why would we do it? That's gross." And lo and behold, they're gonna do it on that couch. I love the callbacks.
Woohoo!
And they're really adorable in the scene. I liked it. I like the fire going in the background. It was really nice to see how in that scene last season, how they were at opposite ends of the couch, and in this one, there's like no personal space. They're just right up against each other.
Aww.
And talking about Christina, who was not coming home that night, joking about Joe sneaking in through the window. Which, come on, that's so cute. That reminds me of Mark and Lexi.
Also, Dawson's Creek.
I never watched that show. Okay.
Yeah.
But kind of reminded, you know how when Mark used to sneak in through the attic?
Yes.
Kind of like that. It's got, they're the teenagers.
They're the teenagers. Yes, that's my new approach to Joel X.
Not that that makes them any less not as
Oh no, not at all. No pejorative notion attached to the
Yes.
teenager,
Yeah.
yeah, label here at all.
I have someone else I'd pin that on, actually. I can say though.
funny. Kelzona are talking, you know, about the whole policy, how it's sad that it's affecting Joe and Alex, and they get to be so happy, which, come on, guys. We all know you're not as happy as you like to flaunt it, but
Yeah.
whatever. Whatever. They're getting their free con because every couple in this episode has to do so. You know, I don't have much to say about this scene, and I've also already mentioned the parallels between Arizona and Owen. It's like Arizona has to pay forever for cheating on Callie, but we're celebrating Owen for cheating on Emma with Christina, which is it's in the same episode. It's like in the same episode, they're bringing up the fact that Leah made a complaint to HR because she was treated badly. And when obviously the person who treated her badly was Arizona, and we're reminded that Arizona needs to pay for that. She needs to pay for the fact that she cheated on Callie with Lauren, and she
Which
needs.
we'll see in next
Yeah,
episode.
and so. But in the same episode, we also have Owen and Christina, and we're supposed to root
But
for
Emma doesn't
them.
work. Does Emma work there?
No, it's not about the HR. It's just ironic that we
Yeah, I
have
know.
those completely opposing
The people
situations.
who aren't hurting anyone are the ones that are getting affected.
It's just.
And the ones that did, affect someone is the ones that are happy.
But yeah, in Arizona's case, it won't last. In Jackson and April's, I think.
They're having stuff coming soon.
I hope so, because I
That
hope
was,
that
I
there needs
saw.
to be consequences to stopping a whole wedding, you know?
There's this gift set on Tumblr right now. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but it's of all the couples and their little kissing moment. And then this one person comments on it and they go, "Something shitty's about to happen, I can tell."
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, pretty much, because everyone was happy.
Aw.
Pretty much.
But it's been a long time since we've had that.
I know.
I mean, we needed
I
it.
know.
I'm not kidding. Emma is at the hospital. She comes up to Owen. She apologizes for not being able to come over last night. I mean, good for you, Emma. But yeah. She tells Owen she wants babies and she wants
I
to
want two.
maybe three. Because they were talking about moving in, and I mean,
That
I
was so
get that.
forced and out of
No,
character.
well, that's my problem. Well, I'm gonna talk about this right now.
Okay,
Two
we'll talk.
prob I have two problems
Okay.
with this whole suddenly Emma wants babies thing. First of all, Teddy told us at one point that Beth, who Owen was engaged with, was that Teddy kind of found it ridiculous that Owen would be engaged to such a person because she told her once that she would give up teaching, if I remember correctly, that was her job, to raise the kids. And Teddy was like, really? You know, Owen wants to be with that girl. That's just weird. So I think it's very weird that suddenly Emma would become that exact same character, especially, and this is
But what
my
does
main
Owen
problem,
want? I'm so
because,
confused.
well, that's my problem, because if you guys remember correctly, when you go at episode 200, when we meet Emma, she's at a fundraiser. She's literally crashing a fundraiser that is not for her hospital. She wants to kind of woo people to her hospital to give funds to her hospital, and she's stealing Owen's stories and stuff like that. She's hardcore. I mean, she's hardcore. And I can buy the fact that a person who is that hardcore would bake muffins and whatever as kind of a softer side. But this completely different way of characterizing her and suddenly making her the stay-at-home mom, it's just, I think it's contrived. It's like suddenly the writers needed a reason that was not, because, you know, it's like Owen cheating on her wasn't enough of a reason to make her break up. He had to have an excuse. It's cheap. It's like he's avoiding his responsibility by saying, you know, I just don't, because, you know, when he slept with Christina, he didn't know the whole, that whole new side to Emma. So it's just,
I agree.
anyways.
It just can, it's not consistent. She was a plot device.
It's annoying that they create love interests that are so disposable, especially in this episode where they're making a point of doing the HR policy and saying that
I know, it's kind of ironic.
Your coworkers can't be your dates and disposable, but you're making in your own show love interests that are disposable. It's annoying. It's just the irony pisses me off.
That is funny.
I don't think they thought about it, but it makes me angry.
Funny.
I love Emma, and I get you guys. You love Crowan. That's okay. I love the scene. I kind of I'm happy for you guys, for everybody who ships Crowan, that they got to have that moment for their couple before Sandra leaves. But it just makes me sad for Emma. It really, really does, because she doesn't deserve that.
No, I don't think anybody deserves that.
No, me neither.
Yeah, so anyways.
Derek walks up to the board, and Christina's there, and Derek tells Owen, you know, I should be put back on the rotation. He kind of talks about the whole project, and he says, you know, for a moment there, I thought I was going into this huge project, and now making brain surgery just seems weird, and my standards have changed. And it's like Owen really relates. This is why I like this scene, because Owen relates to the situation and kind of looks over at Christina, because she completely changed his standards on his love life and who he wants to be with.
Basically, he has no freaking clue what he wants.
I think so, because, and it's the same problem Derek has. He doesn't they don't know what they want anymore, because their standards have been thrown higher by this unexpected person or offer that walked into their life. But I have a problem with this scene, because Patrick's delivery is bad. Bad acting. And this is a problem in this episode in general. There's a few scenes, not just Patrick, this is the one I'm pointing out, but where delivery is very forced. And I feel like this episode was staged a little too much. Like it was rehearsed a little too much. Lines, they felt unnatural. They felt like they were for said for theater. And I mean, I don't want you guys to kind of, because it's a really good episode, but I feel it was a little bit too staged and a little bit too weird, you know. I don't know. And it kind of stood out in this scene. Do you have anything else about that?
No. I have nothing else to add.
Jackson and April are talking to their patient. They walk out of the room, and Jackson says, "We need to go public. I have a hard time keeping track of when I can touch you, when I can't touch you, and I'm so proud of you being my wife. You know, I love the whole sneaking out. It's cute and stuff, but I want to be able to say, you're my wife. And it's cute. I mean, I don't have much to say about it. I love, okay, this, well, this, there's something.
I love how April goes to talk to the first doctor she sees.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
I remember talking about Matthew. Matthew
He's not
was,
coming back.
He was, no, I read that. Matthew was very vocal about really liking April and saying, you know, that he thought she was badass and hot and sexy and being proud of her and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really seen that from Jackson as much. And I'm glad that we finally get to see that he is also very proud of her and that he really values her and he wants to be, you know, able to say, to tell everyone that she's his wife. And I think it's good.
That is very good. I think Sarah Drew was hilarious in that scene.
You know, I love Sarah Drew. Sarah Drew is very adorable and cute and hot, but I do prefer her with her hair down because she has flawless hair. This is all.
Aww. I like seeing her face.
Yeah, I agree. And just her hair color is awesome, so, you know. She still has awesome hair. Alex is walking with Joe. He starts touching her, and he isn't as good as he isn't as good as we thought about sneaking around. After all, he wants to go into Joe kind of pulls him into the supply closet, and they want to hide. But then they start hearing they hear a sound, and it's J'April who are getting their freak on.
I like in this scene how Alex says to Joe, "We're adults and we love each other." And again, Joe has this huge smile on her face, just as she did when he first told her that he loved her. It's cute. I liked her smile, and it's like it kind of washed away her doubt for a minute there.
Mm-hmm.
She was all uptight about it, and then we hear Jackson and April, who are doing it in a supply closet.
Very dignified for a married couple. I mean, go into an on-call room, people. Come on. At least. Come on.
But I guess they didn't think they'd get caught in the supply closet. I don't know how, but...
Yeah.
I loved their reactions. And then Weber walks in, and it's not what it looks like.
He doesn't say anything. It's amazing. He's like, I'm too old for this shit, and he walks away.
Yeah, but then he's a tattletale, which I was kind of annoyed at.
Well, he's a member of the board. This isn't very unclear, but he's at some of the meetings, some he's not, so I think it's in his duties to report it, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Clearly you see where I stand on this.
You're, yeah, on the irrational, just like Alex side.
Yeah. It's not quite irrational, but okay.
No, it is, but, well, we'll talk about that when we have the big board scene, but yeah. I like how, you know, Joe realizes, oh, J'April is still together. I'm not sure if this makes me hate you more or less, and the verdict is that she hates Jackson more. I just like that.
Joe is me.
It's awesome.
Joe is me.
But I get it, you know, I mean...
I'm sorry, Jackson lovers.
Well, you know, at least I would hate him more if J'April wasn't together.
That's true.
Because, come on, you don't get through all that drama, cause that much of a scene if you're not going to be together and be happy. Meredith's research is at a standstill. She's talking to... Christina, and she tells her, I'll have to talk to a bioengineer. I don't know what to do. You know, she's kind of torn. And just by talking to Christina, she figures out that Christina slept with Owen.
I love that they have that in their friendship. Like the time Christina figured out that Meredith was sleeping with McDreamy again.
Yes.
Despite the way she was talking and acting.
Yes.
And Meredith was like, what? I love that.
It's fantastic.
I wish I had a friend that could tell that stuff about me.
I
Okay.
wish I had a friend like. Oh my God, you slept with him again?
Oh, shoot.
I
Shoot. I don't know how you do that. We can't even see each other.
have super secret twisted sisters
Yeah,
power.
you do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is the scene. Okay. Joe comes in while the residents are working, and she tells
Oh,
Stephanie in a
damn.
tone that is very bitchy in front of everybody
She
that,
should have pulled her aside.
yes, absolutely. Because she tells her, you should hear this from me, blah, blah, blah. It's so bratty. She's like a brat. And she tells them, Jackson and April are still a thing, they're still sleeping
She
together.
did say that she's not saying that to hurt you, but
Come
she
on, she
did.
did. Just by her tone and the fact that it's in front of everyone. So bad taste. Just,
Yeah.
it's.
I mean, come on, let's think about what Stephanie's been through in the past few weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, she. I get that it affects you, Joe, but even if Stephanie is the one who did do the complaint, she is allowed to do that complaint, you know? I don't
It's
know.
complicated.
Yes, it
'Cause I mean they're
is.
friends, right? And she probably, if it was Stephanie, Joe would be wondering why she didn't consider how it would affect her friend.
Yeah.
So I can see that point, but yeah.
Ah.
And then in a beautiful twist, which wasn't really a
Yes.
twist because we knew a lot of us guessed, but I loved Tessa's delivery and how she just interrupted and finished and like the way she said it was just so awesome.
The explain, yes.
And why do I even bother? I should have just signed it, my name. I love that.
It's an amazing delivery.
So yeah.
Amazing delivery. I mean,
It's
I love
probably her
Tessa
best work on the show to date.
so far. Yeah. I love, you know, there's a scene.
It makes you like almost be on her side.
I am
While
on her
whereas
side.
you know what I mean, but whereas before we were like kind of feeling bad for Joe and Alex because they had to go through all this, and then all of a sudden you see it
Yeah.
her perspective. Good writing.
Yeah. Everybody's reaction also. You know, you can see, and this, I'm gonna praise Gaius here. Behold. But when you see his reaction and you see how he is like, oh my God, Joe was a bitch to Stephanie and she was wrong, and now I feel bad for Leah. And there's this bold variation in
And then
his
there's
accent.
Ben. Now I'm really confused.
Which, okay, I have to say, you know, I'm not against that whole line or that delivery, but the way they cut to his face, I don't need to see him, you know, in a big, they don't need to cut to him. He could have been just shown in the background and say, I'm confused. They don't need to cut to him twice. It's just the way the editing was done, and just I didn't
I
like
think
it.
they were just trying for the fast, jerky, momentation of the scene.
Yeah, it didn't flow well for
Momentum,
me.
yeah.
I don't think I don't, you know, but I liked it. His delivery is very good,
I
but
think, yeah, it was a good scene. And I've seen some people complaining about, I don't want to watch just scenes with the interns,
I think
but
it's better.
I think it was a good episode. And I think the way they were cutting back and forth to the interns, to Richard and Alex, that felt like an old school Grey's trick. Because they used to do that all the time. If you remember back in season two, I remember the one where Burke's idol is dying, the violin's playing, and you keep on cutting back and forth to George and Izzy fighting
Yeah.
with the seizure lady and Alex talking to the husband of the woman who asked to get her tubes tied. And there was like three different scenes. And they also did it in season six with Teddy and Christina and Meredith and Derek talking about Richard's alcoholism. But whenever they do those quick cuts back and forth, it just gets me so excited. And the music was dead on. And I just
Yes.
loved it so much.
And yeah. I really liked it. And I think, in my opinion, the less the interns, and when I say the interns, I mean, I know they're resident and Joe is always excluded. I've told you guys that. I've said that many times, but when I think the interns are way more interesting if they don't sleep with the regulars, with the bosses. I like them in this
Now,
episode. I can relate to them.
I think with Sandra O's exit coming, I feel like we could. I'm actually surprised at myself. I'm surprised that I wouldn't mind if Jason George was put up to a regular. I'm surprised that I wouldn't mind that because I don't think I've ever rooted for a character to be made a season series regular, minus like Joe for in season 9 because she started the thing with Alex and so
And
she kind of couldn't just
Mousy,
leave.
Mousy.
And yeah, but you know what I mean? Like.
Ben becoming sorry. Yeah, I'm.
I think he adds that the comedy that Eric Dane took with him. Like there was that light-hearted bromance with Derek we've been kind of missing. Like I don't know, I think he adds something to the show and I think he fits with it really well. I don't know, I just like him.
I think he would be good for the show if he can play the part, like you said. And then there's
We
also.
see we've seen his good act, you know, his other like he was a had of that really good scene last episode when he was saying I was a damn rock star. So I'm not saying he's only good for comedy, but he's definitely he's been really making me laugh the most the past two episodes.
He can be a good bridge between the residents
Exactly.
and the older guys, and
Yeah.
also if I d as long as he doesn't stay there to be Bailey's boy toy or her becoming his girl toy, I'm fine with him
Well,
becoming a
I'd rather
regular.
him be integrated in the show and be with her rather than him just showing up to be her boy toy, which is what we've been exposed to lately.
And I like how he's the older guy with the
Yeah.
interns. I like it.
Yeah.
So there's something, we find out in this scene, we've talked about it, that it was Leah who made the complaint, and we got a
And they
Twitter
all work
follower.
together.
Yeah, we got a Le well, wait, we're gonna talk about Ross's speech. We're not done
Oh,
yet.
okay,
But
sorry. Jump
Leah's
ahead.
the one who made a complaint, and we have a Twitter follower who asked us to talk about the following. She said, "It's Gerba 231, and she says, does Leah really have a case of hostile work environment? Because she has been on more cases than Arizona that we have seen." Okay, the thing I want to focus on here is the whole, does Leah really have a case here? Does she have a case for sexual harassment and all the three complaints we've talked about?
Well, there's a difference between sexual harassment and a hostile working environment.
All
But how
three
would
of
you
them.
define a hostile working environment?
Yeah, I think hostile would work if she was talking about Ross's situation with Owen and the fact that he got beat up. The
Yes.
tension for Stephanie with April and Jackson is kind of hostile or uncomfortable. The whole sexual harassment, I don't see it. Not in her situation with Arizona. She's the one who went to Arizona's place.
Yeah.
I mean, she knew what she was getting into. Yeah. And keep pro quo harassment also, I have a harder time. But if she was looking at a broader spec than looking at all the other residents and kind of applying each complaint to different situation, I can see how she can make those complaints, but in her own personal situation, not as much. So, I mean, there's a reason you're making an anonymous complaint, in my opinion. Obviously, it's because she wanted to remain anonymous and not be judged and stuff like that. But I don't think it was to bring them to court. It was more to change the work environment than to, sue Arizona or sue whoever made the hospital hostile. So.
I don't think she has a case. It's more of a, as you said, an anonymous claim. She just wanted to prevent it from happening again,
Kind of change things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's something I think we might explore it later. I don't know if it was really done as heroically as we think. I think there might be some kind of intentions of
That's true.
vengeance in
Well, we
a
might find
few
next
people.
episode, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, come on. We've seen so many inappropriate things happen
I
on the
know,
show
I
over
know.
the
It's
years.
hard to like,
Yeah. You can't
yeah.
completely bash her.
No.
Yeah. So Ross interrupts everybody, makes a speech. He says that they haven't been focusing on the right stuff. They've been kind of distracted with their personal problems and bullshit and sleeping with people. And he says they should take advantage of their education, and they suddenly start working together. How did you like seeing the residents working?
You cut off they should take advantage of their
education and start working together. And they start working together. Too late, because the kid dies, which makes it even more powerful. But I liked seeing them working together finally.
Yeah. As I said, I really liked the whole back and forth with the music and how that unfolded with Alex and Richard coming out of the elevator, trying to keep their excitement down. We've seen that quite a few times.
Yeah.
So I like seeing our former interns and residents, the authoritative figures. It's still surreal to see it.
It's a great cover of Michael Jackson's
I love that song,
Man in the Mirror. It's amazing. It reminds me of Metallica.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. I have it on my playlist now. You know, it's funny, because when we started the season and Mousy died, we kind of said, you know, there was a purpose to her death. It was to bring the residents together, blah, 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 blah. And then ever since, we've been saying, well, I guess it didn't bring them together, as it really strongly hinted that was what they were doing. And I think it's very interesting that something that we thought was a given in 10A is really reaffirmed in 10B. It's like everything they intended to do in 10A, fixing up Calzona, you know, fixing up the interns, whatever, they kind of screwed up, and now they have to do it properly in 10B.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
10B is basically rewriting 10A.
In a way. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So take it back. It was a good title for last episode. We're in the board's meeting room. Everybody's sitting down. April is there. Joe is there. Alex is there. So we know that people are in trouble. Uh-oh. But no one's more in trouble than the board, who really gets a speech by Alex Karev, ladies and gentlemen.
I would like to say the speech. Oh, it's okay for all of you to flaunt your relationships and your rings and your happy little lives just because you're married. No, I'm not going to let a bunch of hypocrites tell me to keep my pants on at work when this hospital was built on all of you filling each other up in an on-call rooms. I'm done, punish me, whatever.
Will he be punished?
I think so. Not right away, but I have a feeling that he might be the one who gets suspended for something that comes up next week.
Wouldn't it be funny if Arizona and Alex were punished? I don't think there's two doctors being punished, but...
Well, we have that peed surgeon coming in.
Oh, no, but he worked with them.
Yeah, that's right. So, I don't know.
I get Alex's, you know, he's right. I don't want to take anything away from what he said. He's right. It does seem hypocritical of them to do so, but they're just trying to apply a policy that does come from HR. They're trying to protect themselves with the potential sue it, you know, because Leah could come forth and really sue them.
It was also
he's right, it is hypocritical, because it's been 10 years of everybody fooling around with everybody.
Now here's my confusion. In this scene, it's basically kind of hinted that, you know, what you do outside the hospital is fine.
Yeah.
But why then is it that Joe and Alex were discussing, I guess maybe this became before, but they were discussing about her needing to sneak in a window.
Yeah, because he lives with Christina.
So which is it? Because I take more issue with if he can't be with her at all.
Yeah.
If they just can't do it at the hospital. And either way, I don't think, if they're making a rule about people not doing it at the hospital, neither should the married couples.
Well, it's not about not doing it. I think it's about not, you know.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think the policy is very clear. It's no, it's relationships between superiors and their subordinates is strictly prohibited. Very clear that you cannot do it. So if even if it takes place outside the hospital, you should not do it. But I think in the practical sense, they're telling Alex, you know, yes, that's what the policy says, but in a practical sense, really, if we find out that outside the hospitals you guys are doing it and it doesn't affect your work, we won't bother firing you guys, which is reflective of real life. I work in a work environment where when I sign my contract, there is crazy shit that my employers can do concerning my marriage and my personal life. Okay? But in reality, just because I work in a whatever kind of work situation, but in reality, you know, what is practice, you know, I've done crazy ass shit, never was fired for it in my personal
You've
life,
done crazy ass shit, huh?
but in my personal life, and they it never reached them, never influenced my work life, they don't care, you know, but they can, they have the power. If they find out something about my personal life that doesn't suit them, they have the power of firing me for those reasons, but that's not something that's practiced, you know. So I guess that's what they, which is not correct. I mean, if you're going to impose a policy on people, you should impose it or not impose it. You can't tell them, well, you know, in your personal life. No, guys, come on. Alex walks away. Joe stays there, which I thought was kind of
I think
awkward.
Joe's caught in between. Like, that's a kind of an awkward position for her to be in.
She cares. I think it could have greater, you know, consequences for her in
I
a way.
think I discussed this with someone. I think that Alex is more at risk
You think?
being the superior. Yeah.
Oh.
I did originally think that Joe could, but I think they'd probably punish Alex as an example.
Oh. So J'April finally chooses that moment of all moments to announce that they've been married. Everybody's kind of surprised, but they're happy, except maybe for Joe, who is, well, yeah. April gets up and she looks at Joe and she says, "I'm sorry, good luck," and it's super awkward and oh, poor Joe.
Poor Joe. It's kind of awkward. I mean, obviously you want to follow the rules. You're a resident, and you have your boyfriend who's just like, this is such bullshit. Like, and she agrees, but she can't really show that in a board meeting. So she's keeping her head down, but she's probably secretly agreeing with Alex.
She seems scared. And I mean, come on, everybody's there. It's all your
Oh
bosses. And
yeah.
they're your
And
bosses
it
on
must
so
be
many levels.
embarrassing too. I mean,
Yes.
like talking about your personal life with, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that.
No. No, and I would personally hate it. You know, I
Yeah.
would be an Alex. I don't think I would yell at them. I
I
don't think
don't
it's
blame Alex
necessary.
because he knows them.
Yeah. Oh, that's
But
true.
if you didn't know them, I don't think you'd do that. But because he's basically their friends.
Yeah.
It feels like it's almost like, when Bailey walked into that same room and felt like they were betraying him,
Yeah.
or sorry, betraying her with the whole, we have to do protocol, blah 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 blah, but we know you, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like it's different, but it's also kind of similar. Like he felt like he wasn't being treated
Fairly.
based fairly on, come on. So yeah, I think that, well, we know that Alex has a tendency to say stuff like that to even strangers. Like, remember when he started yelling at his person who was examining him? But
Also, yeah.
I think that an extra part of it was the fact that they were hypocrites and they're his friends and colleagues and they were judging him.
Also, his patients had just died,
Yeah, also his
which,
patient just died.
and the residents just had, you know, they had figured it out. So it's really, it makes it a whole new level of fucking depressing. We pan out the window. We see Stephanie and Leah kind of looking in, and Stephanie looks at Leah and she tells her, you know, it took balls to do that. I didn't have those balls, and I kind of admire you for putting that complaint and they choose to go drink at the bar.
I really think that
invite
Leah,
Ross. Yeah,
was real. I don't even know if this is so much. Much about Arizona. I know she was affected by it, but I feel like what Jackson did to Stephanie really hit a chord in her.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like when you saw her in that episode, she was really angry, and that's when it all started to come together.
Oh yeah, that's definitely where she got the motivation and the idea, and it because you know it's a realization that it happened to pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tell Ross, you're gonna drink with us, and they also invite Ben. And so, but Joe isn't there, and I'm wondering if...
Because I don't think that her and Stephanie are cool right now.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how that will be if she can't really fraternize with Alex.
Do you think that Joe's picking her boyfriend over her friends? Like, you know, that whole classic thing. Do you think they're going to start accusing her of that?
I think it will be brought up. I don't think it's that simple.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think so either, but...
And I think it'll be hard for her if she doesn't have the residence and she doesn't have Alex. They invite Ben, and I kind of would have liked seeing just a tiny scene of them drinking together, but we didn't. Owen is at Joe's he's sitting with Emma. He breaks up with her, and I like how this scene starts. We see Emma, and we see her leg, and she's shaking like she's very nervous. And it broke my heart. I feel so bad for Emma. I actually cried. I'm not going to lie.
Aww. Yeah. Did you expect them to tell her? We already talked about it briefly, but...
Yeah. I'm torn on the whole should he have told her or not. In a way, I'm kind of happy he didn't. Because
yeah, what's there to gain from that? You're already breaking up with her.
Yeah, but in a way, it makes him a better guy than he is.
By not telling?
Yeah, because, you know, Owen is not a bad guy, and I'm not trying to make that point. I love Owen dearly, but, you know, you're making yourself seem so mature and...
Oh, yeah.
Really, you cheated on her. And, you know, but I guess, you know... It would have probably hurt her more than just giving the reason he did.
Yeah.
So. Oh my god. The Meredare fans must be so happy because this episode ends with Meredare sexy time. Because 3 weeks is too long to go without sex. And yeah. That's all. I don't have much to say about that scene.
I do. Yeah?
Okay.
I think they're losing their spark. Like, back in the early seasons, I got into the show because of Meredith and Derek. One of the first scenes I ever saw were them, you know, the snoring scene. And they were cute, and they had magic, and I just don't feel it anymore. And it really kind of makes me sad. And I can't even give you a reason why that is. I don't know what it is, if it's the writing, the acting, or if their story's just been told. I just don't feel it anymore.
Oh,
and
that's sad.
It's making me kind of sad and frustrated because Alan and Patrick are signed on for 2 more years, and I'm worried that these characters that I used to really adore together are going to get run into the ground. And I don't want to hate them. But they're back to, you know, bookends. Pretty much.
Well, not really, because we do have good development for them with Meredith. You know, it's very interesting. There's something I didn't bring up, actually. It's very interesting that Meredith is faced again with the whole notion of not necessarily being able to be the super surgeon she wants to be and the super mom she wants to be, which, again, is an issue we thought we had addressed in 10A. So that aspect is interesting to me. But yeah, I mean, in this episode, I think Patrick was phoning it in a little. That's my opinion.
I don't know. I don't know if it's that. I think it's a bunch of things together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my problem with it.
Oh.
It just doesn't feel Meredith and Derek anymore. It feels Patrick and Ellen doing their job.
I wonder if Meredith and Derek fans feel the same.
I don't know. I'm probably going to get hate for this. I'm sorry.
No, you have the right to your opinion.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
just don't want you listeners to think that, like, I don't talk about them because I absolutely hate them. And it's not that I hate them. I feel I don't have that same excitement for them that I used to. And I don't know what would bring that back.
I have to
Maybe
say,
Burke coming back.
I like the fact that this is a storyline where we see a married couple dealing with a problem
Yeah, I
and
agree.
not becoming each other's problem, which is something I've said I've wanted for a long
Yeah,
time.
because we're always saying, why do you have to bring the external barriers in, the cheating? Yeah, I
So I
agree.
do appreciate that, and
I agree.
So Burke coming back, you just mentioned we
Burke.
can.
Yes, we found out last night. This is actually how it happened for me. I was going to go pick up some pizza for Grey's night, and and then all of a sudden they announced, stay tuned, Grey's fans, there's something big coming up. I was like, well, shit, I need to go get my pizza. And so I was like, okay, I'll go really fast and I'll come back and maybe I won't miss it. And lo and behold, it comes out right when I'm about to leave. And so the whole time I'm in the car, I wasn't driving, just so you know, but I was on my phone. And I went in to get the pizza and I was on my phone. And I was just reading everybody's reactions to the fact that Isaiah Washington is coming back for one episode in May, and I was just shocked. It was like the biggest news I think we've had in a long time for the show. So
Yeah, it's big. Everybody got
it's
really
big.
excited
And honestly, I
or
woke up this
unhappy.
morning and I remembered it, and it felt like some kind of dream. It just doesn't feel like real, like something like it's actually happening. I never thought it would happen.
Yeah.
So, what are your thoughts?
It happened like this for me. I was having supper with friends and my phone buzzed and it was Amanda freaking out. Oh my God, I don't remember what you texted, but I was like, what are you talking about? And so I went on Twitter and I saw the announcement. And honestly, my first reaction was to be torn because I was like, oh, this is good for Christina's storyline. This is full circle. This gives me hope that they will really put a lot of work into her exit. So I really
There's
like
the
that.
character, but then there's the actor. That's the
Yeah,
problem.
that's my because if you guys aren't aware of the situation, the reason why Isaiah left Grey's, he was fired because he used homophobic slurs on set against T.R. Knight. That's why he was fired, and there was a big problem with GLAAD and all of that. And I was like, okay, two things. First of all, I don't want this to become a circus where everybody's asked for their opinion about Isaiah coming back and homophobia, and I didn't want Sada and Jessica to be kind of get into that whirlwind. And also there's the whole question of Isaiah, is he can we forgive him? Has he really done the work to kind of deal with his homophobia or alleged homophobia? Because, I mean, I don't know the guy. I don't know if he really was homophobic or if he just used a stupid word in a stupid the heat of the moment. But GLAAD made an announcement. They said that Isaiah has done a PSA about gay marriage in the last few years and that it's kind of a tale of forgiveness. In Isaiah's case, so I'm gonna trust GLAAD on this one,
You
and
think it's been long enough? You think we should forgive?
it's not about time, it's about has he done the work, you know? So, but I'm really excited if I forget the whole fact that the actor is potentially a big douche. I'm really excited. With Christina's storyline, the potential we have there. Some people have made me, very excited with the observations they made about Christina's past and how it can come full circle, especially our friend that Justin Chambers online. If you follow them, she tweeted a few very, very smart tweets about the potential. Twitter question of the week. I want to talk about it just because it's a question I really like. So I'm going to... This week I asked our followers, what is the one Grey's Anatomy scene that we have never been shown? So something that took place off screen that you would really like to see.
I answered Jolik sucks to this, and I got that this week.
Aww. There's a lot of people asking for Calzona stuff. There's Torbenson saying the first time Callie and Arizona met after the plane.
I would say that for all the survivors, actually.
Yeah, me too. Calliope Sloan says those 4 days in the woods, lost style. Mm-hmm. I mean, amen to you. I mean, we got fucking 4 episodes of the stupid storm and 1 episode of the plane crash. Yeah. I think we were... We lost there.
Yeah.
Oh my god. At Meredith431 says 48 uninterrupted hours. I wanted it to really happen and then still get a lifetime. This girl Kat says Arizona finding out about Mark dying. Make believe Miss says Lexi's funeral. That's an interesting one. I would have liked to see that. Oh my god. GA Obsessed says Lexi breaking Mark's bone.
Oh my god.
There's a lot of good tweets. So yeah. That was the Twitter question of the week. Amanda, you have a special project you wanted to talk about.
It was brought to my attention the past few weeks that a lot of people were saying, you know, Justin Chambers is so underrated. He deserves more credit than he's getting. And let's be honest, he's been really, really, really amazing this season so far.
Yeah.
So I decided, because as we all know, and some of you have been complaining, he doesn't have Twitter. And I can tell you now, I don't think he's ever going to have Twitter. But we
said that about Sada. So.
Yeah, but I really don't think he's going to get a Twitter.
Yeah.
So I have decided, and I'm really hoping this, I'm not going to bite my tongue later, and because this falls on my ass and it doesn't work, but I'm going to make a scrapbook, a fan scrapbook, and we're going to send it to him, and hopefully for his birthday, which is July 11th, so it's actually a few weeks before the cast come back to film. I'm assuming he'll be back, and if not, I'm sure we'll find another way to get it to him. So the deadline is June 20th, and if you would like to participate, all you have to do is send in your name, your country, a short birthday message, your favorite Alex scene or just Justin acting moment. Send it to the email jcbirthdayproject@gmail.com, and you have till June 20th. So, but that doesn't mean to procrastinate, okay? you know what, first five or ten people, I'll make sure that your messages are like, they stand out amazingly. Yeah, that's an incentive. So yeah. if you bring it in early, I'll give more loving care to your message.
Know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to draw a comic strip of us talking on the podcast.
Oh my god, no.
Yes, I will.
No.
It will be awesome. God. It'll be awesome.
Okay.
And it'll be an invitation for him to come on the
podcast. No! No, I'll just take a note.
You can skip that episode.
Okay. No! I can't do that. I can't do either of it. I can't skip it. I can't do it. So I'm stuck.
Anyways,
so yeah, if you guys want to do that, you can also contact me by that email if you have any questions, or on my Twitter, SilverSCWolf, and you can even reach me on the podcast Twitter. So,
yeah. So if you want to do that, reach us on the podcast Twitter. It's at TSG Podcast. You can also send an email at seriouslygracepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Tumblr at theseriouslygracepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can always find our podcast on iTunes. And we thank you for listening, and we love you, and... I am Kay, and you should seriously grow up and drink wine.
I'm Amanda, And I seriously think that you should participate in my Justin Chambers project.
Oh, yeah.
Down, my heart's on fire.